I got red, my own. All right. Heavy Bibles, go ahead and be finding the book of Ruth. Right after Judges. Right before 1 Samuel. A little book. I want to talk to you tonight about Kinsman Redeemer. Talk to you about Ruth and Boaz, and then I want to talk to you about our Kinsman Redeemer. I've studied this and thought about this a lot, even before tonight, even before this week. I've been looking at this a little bit alone. So I want to try to get you to think about this tonight. Think about this. I want to ask you a question. Why was Ruth important? We don't know much about her. She was from Moab. Moab is a country that doesn't even exist anymore. It was Jerusalem, Bethlehem, where Naomi was from, is on the west side of the Dead Sea. Moab was on the east side of the Dead Sea. It's a, now it's part of Jordan. That's where Moab was. And that's where Ruth was from. But why would a lady from Moab be important for God to include a book in his word about her? What was her importance? And we'll get into that. I want to show you her importance. Show you why it's important to us. But anybody have a prayer request before we get started? Yes, sir.
My sister is having knee replacement surgery in the morning.
All right. Anyone else? Anybody else? Alright. Anybody got a praise tonight? Something the Lord has done for you, especially this week? Fun in getting here, I think. All right.
Football's doing good.
Anyone else?
Praise the Lord that she had no fractures. Failed
Monday night. All right. Good to see Miss Mary tonight. All right. Anyone else? God is good, isn't he? God is good. Got to see some video of my little great-grandbaby. She's a little bigger in my hand now, not much, a little bit bigger, but she's doing well. She had a pacifier in her hand, and she put it in her mouth. So she'll probably be in the hospital another month, probably, at least. So keep praying for her, if you would. Pray for our services. Pray for our pulpit committee We're trying to pray and seek God's desire for our church. We fully believe that God has a man for us. We just got to find him. Got to find out, pray and ask God to show us who we have. I gave you a little bit of an itinerary for this month, this March, Sunday. Don't forget, this coming Sunday, Brian will be preaching. On the 8th, Brother Don will be showing us his work, and he'll be preaching. Then on the 22nd, John Harris will be preaching for us. We're very fortunate to be able to get him. He's a busy guy. He said, I got 3 revivals in March, and the only time he could be here was the 22nd, which is really, see God working in that, because that's when we wanted him to come. That was the only time he could come. So please pray for him. He asked me, asked the church to pray for him. He goes all over in revivals. He had one in South Georgia, and then one in South Carolina, and then one in Texas. So he's a busy guy. But we were fortunate to get him, and we're looking forward to having him come and speak to us. If you have a, I encourage you to get you a bulletin. We have a prayer list in here, and it seems to be growing. But the people need our prayer. There's so many people in our church that are struggling physically, spiritually. And there's quite a list in there. So I encourage you to pick up a bulletin and make it a matter of prayer. Pray for these people. I talked to my Sunday school class a lot about praying for one another. I encourage you to do that. When we have the prayer request a while ago, people mentioned people that they want you to pray for. When you think about this, when somebody asks you to pray for them, that means they believe you can get in touch with God on their behalf. So take that thing seriously. When somebody asks you to pray, take it seriously. Please do that. Please pray for one another. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for the privilege we have to be in your house. We thank you for the opportunity to study your word together. Father, I pray that you would use me to say something that would be of help to someone here tonight. Father, we pray for the request. You know the needs. Father, we just ask you that you would touch, that you can do what only you can do for those that have been mentioned here tonight. Father, we pray for our church. We pray that you would strengthen us, encourage us, help us to continue doing what you have for us to do. Lord, we ask you to be with the pulpit committee. Use us. Help us to find the man that you want to be the pastor of this church. Father, we thank you again, and we ask you to do all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Jeff, you got it one for us?
Let's all stand. Ready? Glory to his name, also known as down at the cross. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name, glory to his name, glory to his name, there to my heart was the from sin. Jesus, who sweetly abide within, there at the cross where he threw stop her soul at the Savior's feet. Cleanse him today and be made complete. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Dear to my heart was the blood of Christ. Glory to his name.
All right, Ruth chapter 1. I want to read, I guess, the first three verses to get us where we need to be to understand what we're talking about. Verse number 1 says, "And it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah," don't forget that, Bethlehem, Judah, "went to sojourn or to live in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi. And the name of the two sons was Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came to the country of Moab and continued there." So let me just kind of give you the highlights of this, because I don't have time to teach the whole book of Ruth and get to what I really want to get to. What's happened is, because of a famine in the land of Bethlehem, Judah, Elimelech decides, Naomi's wife and their two sons, decides to go to Moab, live in Moab. Notice that because of the famine. That's the reason they left. Bethlehem was because of the famine. They went there. They lived there probably around 10 years. And Elimelech passed away. The two sons took wives from the country of Moab, but not too long after that, they passed away. So actually, Naomi is left there really just her and her two daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth. And Naomi hears that there's bread in the land of Judah, Bethlehem, Judah again. So she decides to go home. Orpah decides to stay in Moab. Ruth decides to go with her, go back with her to Bethlehem, Judah. That's important. Don't forget that. Ruth decides to go with Naomi. They go back. Ruth says in verse number, look in verse number 16, chapter 1, verse 16. "And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from falling after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. My people, thy people shall be my people. And that, look at this, and thy God, my God." Ruth decides she wants to stay with Naomi. She wants to go back to Bethlehem, Judah with Naomi. Now, you have to kind of understand, if you get in the book of Leviticus, chapter number 35, it gives you the requirements for a kinsman redeemer. To kind of shorten it up a little bit, Ruth begins to clean. Remember now, Naomi goes back. She has nothing. She's poor. She has nothing. And Naomi sends Ruth, or Ruth decides to go glean in the fields. Now what that means is the owner of the fields would have reapers, they're called, to harvest the crop. But they would miss a little bit of grain. And they're harvesting and rushing through and harvesting, they'd miss a little bit of grain. And what she was doing, she was going through and picking up maybe what they had dropped. And then Boaz sees this and sees her hard work and sees her diligence. And obviously she wasn't a bad-looking lady. So he decides he wants to find out who she is. And then he tells his reapers this. He it says, leave a little few handfuls alone for her. And think about this. Boaz is going to be the kinsman redeemer. He's going to redeem Naomi and Ruth too, really. But he tells his reapers, leave a little bit alone for her. Leave her a couple handfuls that she can find. Then he even tells her, said, you just go with my reapers and you reap as they reap. But I thought about that. I thought when the Bible said, leave a few handfuls for her alone. And I thought about our kinsman redeemer. We all look forward to what he has for us when we get to heaven. But aren't you glad he leaves a few handfuls alone for us? He blesses us. He leaves a few things for us alone. I thought about that. I thought, that's neat. I like that. I enjoy what he leaves alone for us once in a while. But anyway, the way it turned out, Boaz liked this lady, and he ends up marrying Ruth. And he ends up being the kinsman redeemer for Naomi. What does that mean, being a kinsman redeemer? He took and bought the property that they owned before they went to Moab. Everything that Elimelech owned, everything Chilion and Mahlon owned, he bought all those and he returned it to Naomi. That's what a kinsman redeemer does. What are the qualifications to be a kinsman redeemer? Number one is you got to be close kin. You got to be kin. The first kinsman redeemer that was qualified to be Naomi's redeemer couldn't do it or didn't want to do it. Basically, the three qualifications for being a kinsman redeemer is you've got to be kin, you've got to be able, and you got to be willing. Now, whether that guy was not willing or was not able, we don't know. But Boaz being next in line, he decides, well, I will be the kinsman redeemer. I will redeem their property. I will give it back. I will buy it, and I will give it back to Naomi and to Ruth. So that's kind of the story of what happens. But Boaz marries Ruth. I'm skipping over this, but look in chapter 4. Look in verse number 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And he went in unto her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. They got married. They had a son. The son's name was Obed. O-B-E-D, Obed. He had a son. His name was Jesse. He had a son. You know what his name was? David. You see the importance of this? King David. So Ruth is King David's great-grandmother. Ruth is also great-grandmother, great-grandmother, great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great to one more man. Jesus. Jesus is in the lineage of Jesus, not only the lineage of David, but she is in the lineage of Jesus Christ himself. They were all from the tribe of Judah. Jesus was from the tribe of Judah. David was from the tribe of Judah. So this is the lineage. This is why I thank God put the book of Ruth in his word to show us how God had a plan, how God works his plan. We studied, Brother Brian has done a fantastic job on Joseph. You see how God used Joseph, how God had a plan. He has a plan for us too. God has a plan for you. He has a plan for me. He has a plan to use us in some way to bring glory to himself. A lot of people think, well, he just saves us to keep us out of hell. Well, that wasn't his primary goal. I mean, that's a good thing. Don't get me wrong. I'm not taking anything away from that. That's great. He saved us to keep us out of hell. But he really saved us to do something that will bring him glory. Whatever it might be. To give something we can do, and all of us has some way, if you're a Christian, you have some way that God has blessed you and given you the privilege of doing something he called you to do that will bring him glory. We call them gifts. Whatever, however you want to call that. We call them gifts. Everybody that's saved, God gives at least one gift. I'm jealous of some people who have a lot of gifts. But he gives us at least one. And if we'll find out what that gift is and if we'll use that gift, then it will bring him honor and glory. That's what it's all about. Doing something for him that will bring him honor and glory. So you can see how God works. Take a little time, sometime this week or in your Bible study. The book of Ruth is not a bad study. I encourage you to, and it's only four short chapters, really. It's not very long. But you can see how God works through this whole thing. That God works his plan all the way through this. You can see that, help you to understand, and help you to think about what plan does God have for me? What plan does he have for you? What is he called you to do for him that will bring him glory? Do you know? Do you know? Do you know what your gift is? Do you know what you can do that if you'll use that gift? Not only does he give us a gift, but he empowers us to do it. Doesn't he, Don? Yeah, he gives it. He doesn't leave you out there by yourself. He helps you to use that gift. And if we can do that and bring him honor and glory, that's what it's all about. But I really came to talk to you a little bit about my Kinsman Redeemer. Sometimes take your Bible, and most Bibles have a concordance in the back. If not, get you a concordance and look up the word Redeemer. Look up the word redeemed. There's a lot of scriptures. I mean a lot of scriptures. All the way through the Bible, not just the New Testament, all the way through the Bible. There's a lot of scriptures that mentions redeemed or redeemer. So get you a concordance and look up those words and look at those verses. I mean, there must be, I don't know, 50 to 100. I don't know how many they are. I didn't count them. But I just got four or five that I want to mention to you. Look in Hebrews chapter number 9. Hebrews chapter number 9, verse number 12. Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 12. Says this, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. You get that? By his own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Boaz redeemed by being able to afford to buy Naomi's property and give it back to her. The only thing Boaz did to be the kinsman redeemer was spend his money, be willing and spending his money. But it's different from Jesus Christ because he gave his own blood. We've been talking in our Sunday school class a lot about the blood. So many churches today have taken the blood out of their services. They won't sing songs that mention the blood. They won't preach a message that mentions the blood. Folks, it's all about the blood. It's all about the blood. I don't know how you can do that. And as much as the Bible mentions the blood, what do you do? Take a pen and mark through all the scriptures that mentions the blood? While you got your concordance out and looking up, look at the blood. See how many scriptures refers to the blood. There's a lot of them, a list of them, a lot of them. But he was able. He's our kinsman because he was born of woman into this world. Makes him kin to all of us. He's our kinsman. He is able to redeem, and he is willing to redeem. How are we saved? By putting our trust and our faith in what he did on the cross. Accepting that as for us. The shedding of his blood is how we're redeemed, through his blood. Let me give you a couple more. Look in Ephesians. Chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 7. Says this, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Look at that. And for the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. The Bible says that we're saved by grace through faith. It's the grace of God that saves us. It's our faith that we put in what he did on the cross as for us. That's what saves us. That's how you're saved. But it's all about the blood. It's all about the shedding of his blood. Look in Galatians chapter number 3. Look in verse number 13. Galatians 3, verse number 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, taking our sins upon himself. God put my sins, he put your sins on Christ. You ever thought about why did it get dark when he was on the cross? Because God could not look at his own son because of my sins and your sins. Holy God could not look. So it got dark where he couldn't see it. I wonder about this. I think a lot about when he was in the garden when he was praying. And the load was getting so heavy on him. He cried out to the Father, said, is there any other way we can do this? That's my words, but that's what he said. And he knew what was coming. He knew he was going to be tortured. He knew he was going to go to the cross. He knew he was going to give his life. Notice, give his life. They didn't take his life. He gave his life. He knew that was... But the weight of our sins on him made him cry out to the Father. And I thought about this. Was it my sins that made him cry out to the Father? Was it your sins? I think it was all of our sins. All the load that was put upon him. Made him cry out, is there any other way? Is there any other way we can do this? He knew what was ahead. He knew what he was facing. He knew how hard it was going to be. But yet, what did he say? I will, whatever you want me to do, I'll be willing to do it. So that makes him, that's one of the qualifications of being our kinsman redeemer, being able to do it and being willing to do it. See, he knew what was ahead. He knew how bad it was going to be. But yet he was willing to do that. I wish I could have the word to explain to you the love of God. I can't do it. I can't do it. I don't have the word to explain to you how much God loves you. All I can say to you is, God loves you. God loves you. Sometimes when we're having a hard day, we don't feel very loved, do we? But there's one that loves you. There's one that cares about you. And that's God himself. He loves you enough to come into this world, take on human flesh, and go through what he went through. All because, for one reason, he loves you. He loves you. He's willing to do that. He's able to do that, and he's willing to do that. That qualifies him and being our kinsman. That qualifies him to be our kinsman redeemer. Just like Boaz was Naomi's kinsman redeemer. Let's look at a couple of more verses. Look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, look in verse number 13. My pages are sticking together. I think I got the wrong verse. Okay, verse 18. There you go. Verse 18 and verse number 19. Look at 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by the tradition from your fathers, but, look at this, verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ. How do you take the blood out of your Bible? What do you do with that verse? By the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb of the world, was manifest in these last times, last two words, for you. For you. The blood. It's all about the blood of Jesus Christ. Look back in Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, verse 3. Verse 3 through verse 5. I can find this. It's in here. Look in verse number 3. Galatians 4, verse number 3. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of this world. But when the fullness of time was come, what does that mean? What does it mean? When the fullness of time was come. God's timing. One of the hardest things, I think, for us as Christians to do is to wait on God. I think God answers our prayers. When we pray, I think he answers our prayers. I think he does what we ask him to do, or he says no. No's an answer too. Sometimes the answer is no. That's an answer. But sometimes the answer is later. And that's the hardest one, I think. We have a problem waiting on God's timing because we want it done now. When we pray, we want him to act right then. We want him to do what we want him to do right then. Not only do we want him to do what we want him to do, we want him to do it now. One of the hardest things that we'll ever have to do is to wait on his timing. But a lot of times that's more important because God knows the timing. He knows what the timing, when it needs to be. We want now. But he said, oh, it's better if we wait. It's better if we wait. Or maybe the answer's no. I don't know about you. Think about this. I've mentioned this before, but think about this. If the answer is no, and sometimes the answer's no, what do you do then? What do you do if God says, no, can't do that? But see, God has an ability you and I don't have. God knows what's best for us. I've prayed some things and asked God to do some things, and later on I look back at it and I say, I'm sure glad he didn't answer that, because it wasn't the right thing for me at the time. But God in his wisdom knows what's right for us. He knows when the timing is right for us. He knows when he needs to do what we ask him to do. Let's finish reading this. Chapter 4, verse 3, verse 4. But when the fullness of time was come, or when the plan was supposed to happen, God's timing. You ever think about that? Why did Jesus come into this world when he did? Why not 1,000 years before, 1,000 years later? Why right then? Right here. God had a plan. God knew the timing. What does it say? When the fullness, when the time was right, that's what it said. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of woman, that made us a kinsman, but under the law, to redeem, why? Why did he come into this world? To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. What does that mean, the adoption of son? So that you could become a child of God. That's not bad, is it? The Bible says we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. What does a joint, that's a legal term. What does a joint heir, what does that mean? That means we have the same things he has. And God has prepared for us the same things Jesus himself has. As his son. We are children of God because of what he did on the cross for us, and because of our faith, because we trusted him, put our faith in him. We don't know what heaven has in store for us. The Bible gives us a few things. But I kind of figured a little bit of this out. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. We may not know everything. We may not know all of the things he has for us. But we are joint heirs. That means we get what Jesus gets. That's not bad, is it? Look what he says there. To redeem them. That's why when the fullness of time was come, when the time was right, he came into this world. He took on human flesh. He came in this world to die on the cross. That's why he came. He did a lot of wonderful works while he was here. He healed a lot of people. He preached. He taught. lot of people accepted him. A lot of people were saved. That's not why he came. He came to die on the cross because of my sins and because of your sins. See, sin separates us from God. If you have sin in your life, you can't even pray until you confess that sin. It doesn't matter how serious you are. It doesn't matter how big the need is. None of that matters. If you have unconfessed sin in your life, Holy God cannot hear your prayers as long as you have unconfessed sin in your life. The only way you can get him to hear from you is to confess that sin. See, sin is like that wall. It separates us from God. Unconfessed sin separates us from God. He cannot hear you until you confess those sins. I like to say, keep short accounts. What does keep short accounts mean? That means as a child of God, when you do something that's not pleasing to God, when you sin, the Holy Spirit that lives within you will let you know, hey, you just messed up. You just said something you shouldn't have said. You just acted some way you shouldn't have acted. You just did something that's not pleasing to God. You know the best time to confess that? Right then. Right when the Holy Spirit says to you, you just messed up. You just done something you shouldn't have done. But see, we like to put it off. We like to say, well, I'll confess it at church Sunday, when I get to church Sunday. Well, what if you don't get to church Sunday? That means you've got to face God with unconfessed sin. You don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. Maybe you're my age and you can't remember things very long. God's got a better memory than you do. And God's not going to forget it. You might forget it, but God's not going to forget it. So it's important for us to keep short accounts. Stay prayed up. Every day, I try to pray and ask God, forgive me. Forgive me. I need your forgiveness. I want your forgiveness. I want to be right with you. Think about this. Most of us have been saved a good while. Most in here, adults, have been saved a lot of years, I guess. Think about all the times throughout your Christian life. Think about when were you closest to God? Maybe you've been saved 20, 30, 40, 50 years. Who knows? When were you closest to God during that time? Even you young folks, maybe you hadn't been saved but a year or two. When were you closest to God? You know when that was? When you were right with him. When there was no unconfessed sin. Yeah, that's when you were closer to him. And we all desire to do this. We all desire to feel God's presence in our lives. And I'm thankful. That's one of them handfuls. I think that Boaz told his reapers to leave for Ruth. I think God leaves us some handfuls along. And I think that's one of the handfuls he leaves us, is that we can feel his presence. We know he's with us. We know he loves us. That's not a bad handful, is it? To be able to know that God loves us. To be able to know that we're right with him. That's important, to be right with him. I have some more verses, but I'm going to stop there. But I encourage you. I just gave you five. I gave you five verses. They must be, I don't know, maybe 100. All through the Bible. I didn't go into the Old Testament. There's a lot in the Old Testament about redeemed, being redeemed, about the Redeemer. You'll find Jesus Christ, and I think every book in the Bible has a reference to him and what he's going to come to do. You think that might mean something for God to put it in there like that? I think he's trying to tell us something. That we can be redeemed. We can be bought with a price, the Bible says. A costly. It's a free gift. But oh, it costs. Oh, it cost him. But it's a free gift for us. He blesses us. And he loves us. And he cares about us. All right. If you rise to be dismissed. A little bit early, but I'm through. I think that's one of the things I've learned when you get through, quit. I think that's a good thing. When God gets through with it, quit, regardless of what time it is. Father, we thank you for the time we have together. We thank you for your word. Most of all, we thank you for what you did for us, that you loved us that much to go through what you went through. Lord, we don't understand that kind of love. I wish we could. I wish we could describe that kind of love. But we can't do that. Maybe one day we'll be able to understand how much you loved us and how much you cared for us and how much you wanted good for us. Father, we ask you to bless our church. We ask you again for the request. We ask you to have your way. All these things I ask in your name. Amen. Thank y'all.